أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خير خلقه محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. I would prefer that Mr. Shahidi introducing me as one of the servants of Islam rather than all that lengthy discussion and descriptions. I'm proud to be, if acceptable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a good servant of the 12th Imam Ajallah Ta'ala Farajul Sharif, doing and offering my services in the West for the last 27 years, and before that in Najaf, Mashhad, and Syria. Our topic tonight is the elements of salvation and how Shia, the person or people who are followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, should behave in the West. I start with one ayah which summarizes the elements of salvation clearly, and that is in Surah Al-Ma'idah, ayah number 48. It is part of the ayah, of course. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَجَعَلَكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً وَلَكِنْ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ فِي مَا آتَاكُمْ فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَرْجِعُكُمْ جَمِيعًا فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ فِيهِ تَخْتَلِفُونَ. Here are four statements, four very important messages explained in this part of the ayah in the Quran. The first one, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَجَعَلَكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً. Had Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed, He would definitely make you all one united community and nation. This means that everything of variety or differences are witnessed in the whole creation. Variety of colors, variety of cultures, variety of colors and races, variety of educations, variety of approaches, and all our moods, which means that it is a healthy sign. But what we do not agree with is dispute, to make the differences or the variety or whatever is the speciality of each race, each culture, each background as a source of dispute and enmity. That is not acceptable. So in Arabic, there are two technical terms in the Quran. What is ikhtilaf and the other one is khilaf. There's a big difference between these two. So, whilst Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala admires ikhtilaf and variety, He condemns khilaf, which is dispute, and people try to separate from one another and challenge one another and consider themselves not part of the whole community. So, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَجَعَلَكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً. We witness that in the West, that we face people who belong to variety of cultures and backgrounds, not to believe that it is my understanding only right and everybody else is wrong. Once I read a book in London, and I have it in my library, called The Art of Always Being Right. The right of being always right, of course, it's a teasing idea. I mean, no one is always right, except the Ma'sumin alayhi salam, and there are only 14. So, but this is to say that, and there is one story from my childhood in Najaf, although I was born in Karbala, but later on when I was 7 years, I mean, we moved with my parents to Najaf. So there was, and it is, the greatest cemetery in the world, and that is Wadi Salam. So there was a joke that certain people would go to cemetery and say, Fatiha, nasi arabu, nasi ajamu, si khodmu. which means that going to cemetery, reciting Fatiha, and saying that is neither it is for Arabs nor for the Iranians, it is only for our very, very small group and whatever, I mean, minority. No, Islam does not approve of this regime. Because it is in Surah Al-Anbiya clearly that وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam that he has been sent as a mercy for the whole universe, for everybody, for mankind or jinn, for every race and culture and background. So no one is excluded from that. But when we talk about the salvation in a particular way, we say how to behave in the West, how to face the different movements and cultures. So, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَجَعَلَكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً. So which means that all differences are acceptable. We try to share what we have in common and forget about the specialities of each. And the second point here is, وَلَكِنْ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ فِيمَا آتَاكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, and this is the aim of creation, wants to test you in whatever he has provided to you. In many ayat in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, do you think that we have created you aimlessly? أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا. No purpose in your creation. وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. And many other ayat and ahadith to support this idea. The whole life, the whole creation, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created both life and death in order to test you, examine you, and see who is going to offer a better behavior and presentation or work in the world. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ فِيمَا آتَاكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide us with wealth, with knowledge, with status, with honor, and everything. And he wants to see how do we deal with these which has been provided by him. And no one is excluded from this examination and test. The third point, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ, comes as a guideline. The variety is there. People have different opinions, different doctrines, different races. Second, we are going to be examined and tested. And now the third point is فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. This is the most important guidelines for us. Compete with one another in offering good deeds. Like marathon, and you are all familiar with marathon, that hundreds of thousands of people compete with one another to achieve the first and to go the quicker or the faster or to attain the destination before anyone else. So here, do you compete with your colleagues regarding your wealth, your status, your family, your whatever products? No, no. The only way that you compete with them, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ, compete with one another in offering good. Don't be the last one in the list. When something good is offered there, try to compete with others to be the first one to be there. And the final destination is إِلَى اللَّهِ مَرْجِعُكُمْ. The final destination is you go إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. We belong to Allah and we all return to Him. وَإِنَّ إِلَى رَبِّكَ الْمُنْتَهَى يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانُ إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَى رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِيهِ. Oh human beings, humankind, you are striving in a severe way in order to meet your Lord. And you meet your Lord by your what? Actions and deeds. فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ فِيهِ تَخْتَلِفُونَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inform you about the issues of differences that you were having these differences about. So, if I was asked how to be good followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam according to their teachings in the West, in an environment which you are familiar with, now you have settled and this part of your what culture and your existence and your life, because according to the word of Imam Ali alayhi salam, khayrul biladi ma hamalak, the best of countries and lands are the one who assists you in settling down and dealing with your worldly life. I'm going to briefly mention four elements which are, or four guidelines which are very important for all of us. First, make progress all the time. And in this way, let me remember one hadith from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he says, "Man tasawa yawmahu fahuwa maghboon." The one whose 2 days are equal, he or she is stationary, is not moving even one step further. "Man tasawa yawmahu," in spiritual way, in educational way, in whatever good offers, he is still in the same level, not progressing even one step further. This is man tasawa yawmahu fahu maghbun. He is a loser. He is not a winner. Which means what? If, for example, this today I was enabled and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enabled me to do, for example, 7 units of good deeds. Tomorrow I try to make them 71. The day after tomorrow I make them 73. Next week I make them 100. And next month I make them 150. So this is the way I progress in offering my service, my whatever contribution to the goodness of the world, the common good, and istabiqul khayrat, competing to offer good deeds. In this way, man tasawa yawmahu fahu maghbun, and the next is وَمَنْ كَانَ يَوْمُهُ خَيْرًا مِنْ غَدِهِ فَهُوَ مَلْعُونَ, which means that the one who goes backward, I mean, whatever he offered today, tomorrow will be less, which means going back. And this is cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this, the first slogan, the first element is always think of progress. Progress in your understanding of Quran. Progress in social commitment, offering good, and anything regard to the personality, the Islamic personality. Establish it in a way that you are a good believer, a good Muslim, and the good representative of Islam and Ahlul Bayt in your area. So this is the first point, or first bullet point in the first element. And next to that is that we should be productive and not only consumers. To produce, not only to consume. And this means that when we are the source of giving, look at the sun, gives heat and light for millions and millions of years. Go to the jungles, see that they offer wood, and that is the source of papers and all books. Continuing that, your heart, from the moment that life is breathed in the person, inside the womb of his mother, this heart is beating and offering life. The blood circulation allows you to have the energy for 50, 60, 70, 90, 100 years. And doesn't stop. It does stop for a minute. Life is gone. So all are giving and giving and giving. So you should learn from them to be productive and not only a consumer. And the second point or second element here. So the first one is to make progress all the time. The second one is to focus on the needs of your spirit and soul, rather limiting yourself only to the materialistic life and what is related to your body. We have always two elements, the body and the soul and spirit. We normally, without anyone teaches us, or sometimes we need teaching, look after our what? Nourishment our body. When we are thirsty or we are hungry, we try to fulfill that natural urge. The cleanliness of the body, okay? There are some people who every morning they take shower, or sometimes, but always looking after the what? Appearance, the health. So the beauty, and nowadays it is said that the money spent on the beautification and cosmetic, whether it is cosmetics, whether it is for men and or for ladies, no offense to the ladies who are the more consumers of that. So it is even the second source of business and industry in the world after the weapons. All right? So Imam Ali alayhi salam says what? Says that zinatul bawatin ajmalu min zinatil al-zawahir. The beauty of the inner beauty is much more important than the outer beauty. There are many people who are concerned with their appearance, with their, for example, hairstyle, with, whatever structure. Okay, to iron their shirts and they don't leave home without ironing. All these are good. But to focus only on that, that even the shoes are shiny and not dusty. Yeah. So all these are so important. But I'm not saying that not important. I'm saying that focusing only on that, forgetting about the beautification and the health and the cleanliness and the nourishment of the soul is much more important in this way. Why? Because purification of the soul has been mentioned in many ayat of the Quran. First in Surah Al-Jumu'ah every Friday and tomorrow inshallah with the good presence of Hujjat al-Islam Muslimin, Sayyid Mustafa Qazwini, you are going to attend the Salat al-Jumu'ah. The first thing you read, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. Yuzakkihim, to purify the souls. In Surah al-Shams, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Victorious are those who purify the souls. In Surah Al-A'la, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. So it is not coincidence that for Salat Al-Eid, it is highly recommended that after the first rak'at, after Hamd, you recite Surah Al-A'la, and in the second rak'at, you recite Surah Al-Shams. In both of them, tazkiyah are there, and in Friday, so always to focus on purification of the soul and understanding that body is not everything. To think about your soul, which is the breath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ. So the spirit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is breathed in a human being, and that is to make it so high. Otherwise, the Iranian poet says, "Murghe baghe malakutan, neem az alame khak, chand ruzi qafasi saqte az bahre tanam." Which means that if I am only focusing on my bodily exercise and bodily needs, then forgetting about the soul and spirit, not to take care of purifying and cleaning that, oh, that is the problem. And the so we need the nourishment of the soul, purifying the soul, beautifying the soul, and everything about that. So first of all, to make progress, second point is to focus on the needs of the spirit and the soul. The third point, which I believe is very important again, For all of us, we have to be representative of madhab of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam by our actions and deeds and not by our words. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said that invite people to our path and our doctrine not by your tongues. So one of the companions asked, how do we invite people to your path whilst we are silent? The Imam said that you invite them by your actions, not by your words. So there is no point in lectures and lectures or literature or talk about honesty, for example, whilst I am not honest. There is no point in talking about forbearance and tolerance, which I am not. It has been said that one teacher of akhlaq and purification of the soul was talking to his friends or his fellow students about patience and tolerance. And whilst he was talking about that and all are sitting there, a scorpion stung his feet. He did not show any type of reaction to that at all. Of course, it is the pain is there. So after he completed his discussion, after half an hour, and they were, leaving, he said, okay, now, if there is anyone who knows how to treat me about this. And they were all surprised that for half an hour you were suffering from the pain of the scorpion, and you did not show any. He said that because I was advising you and talking about patience and forbearance. How could I act opposite to that? And this is from the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That a lady brought her son to the Prophet and said, O Messenger of Allah, please advise my son not to have dates. He had some pain and problem in his eyes. And in the old days, they would say that eating dates is harmful to those who have some ailment in their eyes. I don't know whether the physicians nowadays agree with that or not. It is not my job to say that. But what I know that this was a tradition there. So she said that he has some problem with his eyes and I tell him he doesn't listen to me. So you order him to stop eating dates because it is harmful to him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to her, go and come tomorrow. Next day, she came leading her son, and as soon as she sat down, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, oh my son, don't eat dates. So, okay, what? The lady was hesitant about that. It was only two words that the Prophet could say that yesterday. Why did he ask me to come again to have his audience and ask him about that? He said, because yesterday I had already had dates. I can't advise someone not to have dates whilst I myself have consumed that. And in another hadith said that, by Allah, there is no merit, nothing I recommend it to you unless I act upon it before, and I do not forbid anything and prohibit anything for you to do unless I personally stop doing it. So this is the way that we need to present to our fellow neighbors and people and there. So when we understand the word of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam again, in which he says that kunu zaynan lana wa la takunu shaynan alayna. Be a source of honor and respect to us Ahlul Bayt, and don't cause any disrespect to us. Why? Because when you act in the way that it is full of respect and honor, honesty, truthfulness, justice, fairness, and all these ethical and moral values, they say, oh, may Allah have mercy on Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq, who trained his followers to be this way. So please be careful that every single action of us will be reflected on the madhab. So the more careful we are, of course, it is important. Then the hadith of, again, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, in which he says that, Wallahi law arafa nasu mahasina kalamina, if people know about the beauty of our words, our teachings, our guidelines, they would follow us. So you don't need to even announce and pronounce about that behavior. Your presence, your action, your practice will be a good propaganda or tabligh to introduce Islam as it is important. And the last point, the fourth one, is the self-accounting. Muhasabatul nafs. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that it is not the follower or our follower or the one who refers himself to us, those who at night do not ponder and try to think about all actions of the day. Then one by one the acts and deeds committed by you revises, and for those good deeds ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable him more, to give him more tawfiq to do them more next day and next week. And if, God forbid, any wrongdoing, any mistake, any sin was committed by the person, try to reduce them. If they were today, for example, 15 or 16 times of backbiting and slandering and ghibah, try to minimize them to 12, and next week to 10, next week to 5, until they become zero. The good deeds, but unfortunately, some people don't take these seriously. I'm sure that you are all, alhamdulillah, aware of these. I'm not adding something extra to your knowledge. You know all these better, but always وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. When you remind people about it, you remind yourself about it, of course, you get better results. So, first I said that to offer good, common good, always in time. The second about the needs of the soul and spirit. The third one, to advocate by our actions and not by our words. And the fourth one about the self-accounting. In another hadith from Imam Ali alayhi salam, that when two partners in business, each of them is so careful to have some sort of supervision about the accounts, about the profit, and about the whatever bills or, I mean, the balance sheets, and try that not to be fooled or cheated by the other partner. So you have to take accounts of yourself even greater than a partner in business takes from his partner. So this is the way to show how important is muhasabat al-nafs. حساب رسیه روزانه راجع به جزئیات کارهای خوب یا زشتی که از هر کس سرزده است. One very important issue will cover all these four. And that is that we know our leader, our imam, our hujjah, the proof of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one about whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said that if only one day remains from the life on earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will extend that day until al-Mahdi reappears to fill the earth with justice and truth after having been full of corruption and mistakes, injustice. We know that he is supervising us. We know that we are under his supervision. And like CCTV cameras where always watching us and we control ourselves. If you are on the highway and you are driving and you see that a police car or the CCTV camera or the navigator tells you, oh, there is a camera here, you will do what? If you are exceeding your limits in the driving, you try to. So this is that we have to know that the 12th Imam, Ajjalallah Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif, is watching us. Is watching us. And when we offer any good deed, the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, they deal with the problems, the daily problems, in the right manner. He prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our tawfiq. And unfortunately, if anything wrong happens, anything witness which is not satisfactory, not pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the 12th Imam subhanahu wa ta'ala feels what? Feels unhappy and disappointed about that. In one tawqiyah which was presented by the 12th Imam Ajjalallah ta'ala Farajahu Sharif, he said that we will not neglect or forget you, lest calamity, troubles fall upon you. Which means that inna غَيْرُ مُهْمِلِينَ لِرِعَايَتِكُمْ, and that presence of the 12th Imam Ajjalallah ta'ala Farajah must be there. And in this way, when we communicate with him, when we spare 5 minutes a day to show our sincerity and loyalty to the Quran, to Ahlul Bayt, to the 12th Imam, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten his reappearance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to walk in the right path. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to be good followers of Ahlul Bayt, who are representative of nobility and not causing harm and disrespect to Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to continue in this path for ourselves, for our families, for our children. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.